right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we are talking about Landscape with Invisible Hand. This is a weird one. It's from writer-director Corey Finley, who did Bad Education and Thoroughbreds, two of my favorite movies of the last 5 years. So I was really looking forward to this one. And yeah, it's a weird one, but we're going to try to get into it. Joining me is Evan Crean from the Spoiler Piece Theater podcast, and we get into some good stuff here, so that's coming up in a second. Before we get to it, I do want to remind you, as always, to make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts. You can follow us on social media at Piecing Pod, and don't forget about our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. Aside from that, we do have a Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus and advanced content for Piecing It Together, Awesome Movie Year, and from my music career. Right now I'm posting an exclusive album on there. It's the score to a film that I worked on called Jacqueline, and you can check that out, as well as I think we've got 4 or 5 episodes of Piecing It Together right now that haven't been released yet that are early access on the Patreon, and 2 bonus Awesome Movie Years, so lots of great content. It's patreon.com/bydavidrosen. I appreciate you all being out there just listening, but if you want to sign up for the Patreon, I appreciate that too. So with that said, let's get into Landscape with Invisible Hand. All right, we are going to try to get into this weird movie, Landscape with Invisible Hand. And joining me today is Evan Crean from Spoiler Piece Theater. Evan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back. Excited to be here.
Yeah, I have been putting the call out for this episode, and for, I think, a variety of reasons, I have not gotten a lot of bites here, but I listened to you guys' podcast the other day, and I know that you were a fan of this one. It's a weird movie, and we'll get into that, but, like, it's a tough one to even say I'm a fan of. Like, I was just so excited for this movie, and I have theories, and almost more than puzzle pieces. We'll get into puzzle pieces. I just wanted to talk theories and ideas and what the hell is going on here. Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, let's just start with Corey Finley. Were you a fan of Corey Finley going into this?
I'm trying to think what movies he had made before. I'd seen Bad Education, which I thought was good, but not great. What other movies?
The other one is Thoroughbreds.
I had not seen that one, but I'd heard lots of good things.
Thoroughbreds is amazing. Actually, I love Bad Education. I'll just throw it out there right now. I love that, and I love Thoroughbreds. They both made my like top 10 of their respective years. So I'm like on the Corey Finley train. You know, other than that, he co-directed like some other like TV show, I believe. But I haven't actually seen that. But just his 2 features, this being his 3rd feature. So yeah, I was just like so rooting for this thing, and I think it colors my interpretation of the movie a little bit. And, you know, we'll get into that as we're going through it, just how interesting of a filmmaker I think he is. Where did you first see this? Did you just catch this like before you guys did the podcast, or had you seen it at a festival?
Yeah,
you
we just saw it. Yeah, we saw it before for the show. We got like a screener link and watched it at home.
Okay. So yeah, this is like one of those movies where it's like, I know they haven't really promoted it much. I think the strike might have a little something to do with that. I don't know. But I have a feeling, like, strike or not, like, people wouldn't really know what to make of this.
I know when I was reading the summary about it a couple of months ago, I thought to myself, it sounds interesting, but also sounds like it could be kind of weird. But I think that's what was drawing me toward it, is that it sounded kind of weird, like, just a weird enough plot that I needed to see it for myself and find out kind of how it all shakes out.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, we'll get into everything along the way with this thing. Let's just start jumping into puzzle pieces and see what we can figure out as we're getting into it. What do you have for your first puzzle piece?
For me, the first one that came to mind was Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I don't know if it's been a long time since I've seen the movie, so I feel like it's almost even a little bit of the book, too, in terms of just a grim kind of satire and just, I don't know, the idea of humans being so such secondary characters in their own story just felt very Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy to me.
For sure. Yeah, I was thinking about that one too. I haven't seen the movie since like opening weekend. I know like the book obviously like it's so influential on so many things, and mm-hmm. so like it's definitely something that comes up quite often on the podcast, whether it's something as weird as this or just something sci-fi and kind of all over the place, you know. But yeah, I think that's a great one to kick it off with, and this is such like a weird movie with like a weird sci-fi idea that's going to come up in some of my puzzle pieces, where it's like it's not all about just one thing. Like mm-hmm. this movie is about so many different things, and I think you can easily look at that and say, oh, well, it's messy. And I think it really just depends on where you fall on the whole overall thing, whether it is messy or if it's there's a lot of color to this. There's just so many different things happening that all kind of make up this overall universe, really, but world, universe, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I think that that's a really good one, a really good example of that, and an example of how odd things are in this movie for those who mm-hmm. are maybe listening to this and haven't seen it. Of course, we will get into lots of spoilers, but you know, if you haven't seen it, it gets weird.
Yeah, yeah. It has like an offbeat sense of humor. I think that's one of the things that I was zoning in on with Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and the book especially has such an offbeat sense of humor. And just Douglas Adams just has a really brilliant way of describing things that is just so humorous and just pointing out the absurdity, and this movie is just kind of needling on all of the absurd elements of the world that this takes place in. And back to your comment about whether you think it's messy or not, as a viewer, I didn't think it was messy. I actually was interested in the different directions and surprised by the different directions it went in.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one thing, and this is kind of a tangent before I get to my first piece, but I was kind of, I don't usually do this before recording an episode, but I was like Googling a little bit, trying to find out about the differences between the book that this is based on, Landscape with Invisible Hand, mm-hmm. And this film. And I couldn't really find any kind of like articles specifically on that, but I did find this Screen Rant interview with Corey Finley. And one of the questions I thought was interesting, they asked him about, with so many different story threads in the movie between like the art stuff, the love and relationship stuff, the alien stuff, capitalism, mm-hmm. like all the things being explored here. Like if there's like one specific thread that drew him to the story most of all. And I wrote down his answer. He said, that's such a good question. I wouldn't even have thought to put it that way. The heart of the movie for me is the story of a young man coming of age, finding his voice, and doing it all while trying to survive in a strange economic world. And I think that kind of centers in on like what all of these things add up to. I think there's still just so much going on, but I do think that that kind of helps kind of zero in. And to me personally, that like that quote alone makes the movie even more successful after reading that, because I'm like, if that's where we're going with this, it's not just specifically like, I know this movie was mostly sold as the reality show aspect of,
right.
of this couple mm-hmm. and the aliens are right now I'm getting into plot here in a way that must make zero sense to anyone listening who hasn't seen the movie, but like the aliens are watching people's relationships unfold as a form of reality show, and you know, that's kind of where the trailer sold us on the movie,
right.
And mm-hmm. there's so much more going on though, and I think it's important that he had this kind of point of view of where it's all meant to go. But I don't know. There's so many different, I feel like I'm like all over the place with this one, but
it's kind of an all over the place movie. And it either really works is. For you or it doesn't, which it didn't work
it
for
really,
my co-host
really
when we talk about it, but it worked for me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'll go to my first one. And this actually does kind of focus in on that thing that we were kind of sold with the trailer and with the marketing for the movie and everything like that. I'm going to TV for my first puzzle piece, actually.
Ooh.
And I'm going with the episode of South Park titled Canceled. I don't know if you remember this episode, but it turns out that all of life on Earth is an intergalactic reality show, and aliens have decided they're going to be canceling the show, and, you know, it gets into reality television, trash television in general, art, very meta about South Park, the show itself. The aliens are all very weird, and it's a very, very not thinly veiled Jewish stereotype to the ruling class of aliens who actually own everything on Earth. And you figure what that metaphor is. It's a classic South Park episode, though. And, you know, it was hilarious at the time. I haven't seen it in years, but I'm always a sucker for meta stuff, and meta stuff will come up in some of my other puzzle pieces too. But while this isn't meta about any one particular thing, it's meta about art in general, I feel like. I really connected with that about Landscape with Invisible Hand as well.
Was that an earlier in the was that a more recent season? Because I haven't watched South Park in a very long time. But
this was what I consider the golden age of South Park, which is right after the movie. Like it was, it was probably like 2 years after the movie or something like that. I feel like that those first 3 years after the movie was when the show really just exploded and every episode was great. And that was when that happened.
Gotcha. Well, I'm sad I missed it because that sounds pretty hilarious. And I do, like you, I enjoy meta things also.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, let's go to another piece. What do you got next?
So my next piece is They Live.
Oh, nice.
John Carpenter's They Live. Obviously another satire. Satire involving aliens, although the aliens in that world are not revealed to pretty much anyone. But they're walking among us and they've convince us to obey their commands and buy their products and things. And I feel like that has a pretty grim sense of humor and a pretty grim ending. And I feel like that was definitely an element that was an influence here. And also just that all of its commentary on commercialism and consumerism and just basically like all the economic commentary going on feels like it's just so relevant to this film. Especially having all, you know, human beings are subjugated class, and the people who, you know, get ahead in this movie have to basically sell their soul or shave their eyebrows to go live in these floating cities in the sky and serve their alien masters.
Yes, absolutely. No, that's a great one. I hadn't thought of that, and I'm glad you brought it up because it's perfect. It's a great piece to include here. And yeah, the capitalism stuff and like consumerism, like all of that, like fits in so perfectly with They Live and the world that the aliens have basically forced us into, but at the same time we've willingly gone into it feels like it,
oh for
everybody
sure
is yeah they're just they're in. And I feel like that's a pretty you know, as far as satire goes, it's pretty on the nose and correct about the way that the world is. So as long as people get their comforts and whatnot and their little bits of entertainment and their content, as it were, you know, they're happy. So you know, even if shit sucks.
Oh, totally. And it's like, you know, the protagonist in this movie, it's kind of like his version of the glasses is after he's hired to be the artist in residence. And he's got this beautiful mural that speaks to the human experience and resiliency and how the world has changed with the aliens. And then he finds out that they've made creative changes to it to make it look like they're the best. They're amazing. They've given humanity everything, and humanity is not, you know, subjugated to them.
Yes, absolutely. Love it. Great one. Also a great, you know, setup for my next puzzle piece as well, which is going to be Boots Riley's Sorry to Bother You.
Oh, nice. That was on my list too.
Nice. Right on. Yeah. Another like, you know, bizarre, high concept, near futuristic sci-fi that like it mixes the mundane with this seed of a futuristic weird idea. And of course both movies highly critical of capitalism in general, as well as the subjugation of art and all those kind of things. And you know, just as a little bit of a tangent, last night I actually got to watch this like Zoom screenwriting like meeting thing between Boots Riley and Charlie Kaufman. Charlie Kaufman, oh, cool. Another person who will come up later in my puzzle pieces. But, you know, it was a really great conversation. They talked about a lot of really interesting stuff. But one of the questions that was asked of them was, I thought relevant to this conversation here. They were asking, how do you write something as abstract and weird as some of the ideas that the two of them come up with? Mm-hmm. And this book, I have to imagine, leaves so much up to the imagination of what the aliens look like, what even this art looks like. Like, all of these mm-hmm. things are like, they're just so out there and weird. And it must be a hard thing to write. That's all I would say.
Oh, definitely. But yeah, I'm glad you also brought up, sorry to bother you, because I feel like it has an equally grim view of capitalism and just the way it traps people and keeps them down and just forces them into these awful, awful circumstances where it's, you know, a dog eat dog kind of world where people are willing to, you know, step all over each other to climb to the top.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I will, you know, since you had Sorry to Bother You as well, I will jump to another one. I'm going to talk about American Beauty as a puzzle piece here.
Ooh, just want to hear more.
It's just like, it's obviously a very different movie, but like this weird skewed version of the American Beauty idea of like, this is what life is in middle America. Like, and of course here it's life after this alien takeover has changed little bits and pieces of the American experience. And it's not super like futuristic, you know, far out there sci-fi. It's more just like these little changes to the way that life is, the way that work is, school is, you know, everything that goes along with dating and relationships and art and entertainment and like all these kinds of things that are a part of American Beauty, sex too, like all those things. Mm-hmm. But then skewed in this weird, slightly sci-fi way. And, you know, also I think our main character here, Adam, you kind of see a little bit of Ricky Fitz in him and the way that he sees the world through art and everything. And, that's kind of his escape from like the mundanity of, his life and the fact that he kind of sees that there's no getting out from under this alien, you know, rule that this, you know, near future society has gotten themselves into. So there's some Ricky Fitz there, I feel like, as well. But yeah, American Beauty.
Good one. Yeah, that's definitely not one I would have thought of.
Yeah. Yeah, it's maybe out there, but for sure. What do you have for your next one?
My next one on my list is Men in Black.
Nice.
For me, it was really zeroing in on the way that people have learned to coexist with aliens. In Men in Black, it's covert, obviously. Not everyone knows that aliens live amongst them. But in this, it's a very similar kind of like cooperative way of living. And there's a lot of economic forces going on that keep these two species like cooperating and working together. And yeah, the aliens just look kind of creepy and slimy, like a lot of the aliens that you see in Men in Black. So yeah. I could see them running around, you know, I don't know what they call it, but basically like the airport terminal that is the Men in Black headquarters. I could see these aliens kind of skulking around in there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They both take a very like, yeah, these guys have like taken over life on Earth, but also they're kind of goofy mm-hmm. approach to what aliens are. Yeah, no, that's a fun one. And definitely like just the weirdness of the alien stuff. I think you could totally see Men in Black in there as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a good one. I will combine a couple of Michel Gondry films for my next one, Be Kind, Rewind and The Science of Sleep. Two movies that deal with like outsider art, basically, and art being the thing that kind of gets you through difficult situations in life. And they're both movies, like really all three movies, very different from one another, but all of them have that through line of art being this like important thing. And I feel like that is like, you know, again, going back to, you know, that quote from Corey Finley, like, you know, this kid, like, kind of his coming of age story of, you know, learning to find his own voice in the world of art, but that world of art being overtaken by, you know, the economy of it all, the business side of it all. I think that that's an important thing. for this story. And I think both of those movies have, like, you know, bits and pieces of that same kind of thing, with Be Kind, Rewind. You know, the video store still has to make money. With Science Asleep, the guy just doesn't fit in any kind of work or even, you know, social relationship situation. So I think Michel Gondry is dealing with similar themes and similarly weird themes as well.
Well, I haven't seen Science of Sleep, but I have seen Be Kind Rewind, and that is definitely a great comparison, the outsider art piece to it. Because, the main character in this is definitely creating some, I mean, what other people might say is a little bit, like, weirder art, but it's cool. I mean, it's really cool the way he manages to paint the entire side of the school. And it's this incredible mural.
It's really, really cool. And you have to assume, like, you know, any artist is kind of absorbing what's around them. And if you're living this, like, kind of dystopian life of everything just being boring and dead end, and there's really nothing to look forward to anymore, your art's going to get kind of strange. So what do you have for another piece?
Maybe an unconventional one, but there was a movie that came out recently, earlier this year, I think, even, called Influencer, which is a horror movie. But it's... Yeah. Did you see it?
I did, actually, yeah.
And I thought its commentary on social media felt very relevant to this movie, because you kind of have, like, the main character in the film, in that film, is made to seem like she's kind of a ditzy airhead, like, social media influencer, just kind of doing things for the likes. And you just find out that there's a lot more depth to her and she has a lot more going on. And just seeing the way that people can leverage social media, and in this case, reality TV in this film, for fame and fortune. But also in this film, Chloe, I think, is her character's name.
Yeah, it is.
And I feel like Chloe in this film has more going on. She's not just kind of trying to capitalize. Like, yes, she wants to make money for her family, and she sees social media as a tool, but she's like a lot, she's got a lot more depth going on as a person, and there's a lot more going on underneath the surface there, aside from what she presents, and especially the way that they have to kind of explain everything as they go along. That felt very similar to Influencer, seeing the social media person going, oh, I'm going here because of this, and I'm eating this because of that, and she has to explain to the aliens, you know, certain human customs. Oh, we're having family dinner together, we do this, blah blah blah.
Yeah, it's really interesting that the aliens have taken us over and, like, set all these rules for us and all this stuff, but yet they kind of don't know the basics, and, like, they just haven't bothered to learn. They just only care about enslaving us, basically. So many weird little details like that, but yeah, Influencer is a really it's an interesting movie. It was a cool one, and I like that you brought that up here. That's a great one to include with everything with Chloe and the way that she's trying to use social media, and the way that she makes that her entire way of life, really. And it, even once her and Adam, like, once they break up, like, boom, she's just right onto her next channel immediately. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which, ugh, but,
yeah.
I have one last piece, and before I go to it, I did want to kind of, I wanted to, like, go off on a slight tangent just about my interpretation of the movie, because it kind of sets up my last piece, and I don't know how you feel, you know, about it as far as, like, the interpretation of everything going on here, because for me, and obviously this is, like, heavy spoilers, but also kind of my own opinion, so I don't really know for sure if any of this is really it, but, you know, this movie, it's just so layered with so many kind of obvious, kind of on-the-nose metaphors about art and race and class and sex and love and being human and, like, all these things, and part of me, really a lot of me, was thinking after I left this movie and I was driving home, like, is this Corey Finley, like, after finding a lot of success with his first couple of movies, but then maybe, like, having trouble, you know, banging his head against the wall trying to get to his next project, getting fed up with the system that you have to make movies in right now? We're going through the strike at the moment, which is a long time coming, and getting fed up with who gets to be ultimately in charge of, you know, what gets made, how it gets made. And this is kind of his saying, like, oh, you want all of these, like, very trendy ideas in a movie? Here they all are. Go fuck yourself. Here's my movie with all this shit that you want, supposedly, you know? And I think it, that point is really underlined by the fact that throughout the film, we're seeing little bits and pieces of Adam's artwork, which in this idea, this interpretation, Adam is kind of a cipher for Corey Finley. And we're seeing it, and it always shows, like, you know, the title of the artwork. Mm-hmm. And at the very end of the movie, when Adam recreates his big art piece that the aliens basically co-opted and turned into shit, it shows the title of that final art piece is Landscape with Invisible Hand. And to me, that is like, it couldn't be more clear that that is him saying, here's your fucking movie, guys. Like, you know, and maybe that is totally off base and maybe I'm reading too far into it, but that's just kind of how I see it. I'm curious what you think of that interpretation.
I mean, I dig it. I mean, I wish I'd read the book, because then I could feel like I could confidently say, you know, I feel like that commentary really wasn't there in the book and maybe you're reaching.
Right.
But I mean, I like that interpretation for sure.
Yeah. I'm curious, because he did seem to, like, collaborate with the original author on some rewrites of, like, you know, turning it into more of a, you know, a film-like story. So possibly he took seeds of it and readjusted. I don't know. It's possible, but it's really hard to say. But with that being said, a puzzle piece I've brought up a million times on this show, but I got to do it again. I'm going with Charlie Kaufman's adaptation, because to me, like, you know, the idea of this guy writing this book that just all of his own insecurities and his own, you know, hangups with the industry at large seeping their way into that movie, that story that he's adapting, I think totally reminded me back to everything that Charlie Kaufman, the character, goes through in Charlie Kaufman's adaptation to adapt that book, and then in turning it into a movie, turning it into this just big Hollywood thing. And I love bringing up adaptation. I can't help myself, but I really do think that there's a parallel there when it comes to my interpretation of this movie. If that's at all accurate, I think that they kind of work together really well.
Is it bad to admit that I've never seen Adaptation?
You know what the thing is that means that you can watch it for the first time, and that's very exciting to me. So
I mean,
you have to tell me how you like it when you finally get to it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you're definitely making it sound interesting, and I think, you know, based on what you're telling me about the movie, it seems like a great puzzle piece to throw in with this one, even if you've brought it up before.
Yeah, even if my interpretation is, like, totally off base, it's like, hey, screw it, it works. Do you have any other puzzle pieces?
No, I think I ran out. I'm surprised that we had some overlap, but pleasantly surprised. That's always fun.
Yeah, no, for sure, absolutely. I will say one thing, and then I'll read down our final list here, and we'll get into some closing thoughts. When I first saw this movie almost a month ago now, and like I said, I had trouble finding a guest for this episode. I'm glad we're finally doing it. But when I wrote down my initial list, and I didn't, like, elaborate on any of my pieces, I had written down Babylon, Damien Chazelle's Babylon from last year. And I wish I could remember what the hell made me think of that. And I'm mad at myself now that I didn't write down, like, a sentence or something to go with it. So
it's too bad I hadn't seen it. Otherwise, I feel like I could help you out here.
Yeah, maybe you'd be able to figure it out. But if anybody out there listening sees some kind of parallel with Babylon, please let me know what the hell I was thinking about. But I will read down our list of puzzle pieces here, and then we'll get into some closing thoughts. We talked about The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the South Park episode Canceled, They Live, Sorry to Bother You, American Beauty, Men in Black, Be Kind, Rewind, and The Science of Sleep, Influencer, and Adaptation. I think, you know, like I said when we first started the conversation, like, these pieces and the threads of this film really kind of just go all over the place, from, you know, movies about art, which I feel like that's the main thing and the reason why I like this movie so much, to weird sci-fi movies, to, you know, stuff about just life in America. There's a lot going on here. But, you know, with that said, is there anything that we didn't quite get into with the puzzle pieces that you wanted to bring up here?
I think with Men in Black, the language piece was something that I forgot to mention earlier. The alien languages, and just okay. I thought it was really fascinating the way these aliens communicate by shuffling their hands, basically, or rubbing their hands together, and then they just have that weird thing about the lotion, where there was that one woman who was like putting the lotion on and was like all greased up, and Tiffany Haddish had looked at her and asked her, "Is that weird for you? Like, is that a problem?"
There's a lot of awkwardness to any scene where the aliens are involved, like whether mm-hmm. it's on the ship or once I mean, like I said, there's so much going on in this movie. We didn't even mention like that Tiffany Haddish, to get out of a lawsuit, has to like marry one of the aliens. Like this movie is so strange.
It is bizarre.
Yeah, but all of that has so much awkwardness. You know, it gets really strange in those scenarios, and some really fun stuff there. But yeah, I love that though, bringing up the language, because these are really, they're called the VUV, I believe is how you mm-hmm. say it. The yeah. V-U-U-V. But yeah, they're a really interesting creation as far as like movie aliens go. And it just doesn't get weirder than that. So that is, I think, it for Landscape with Invisible Hand. Evan, is there another movie you watched recently you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
Oh, you know what I saw recently? I mean, it's an oldie, but, you know, after William Friedkin passed away, I saw Sorcerer for the first time.
Ooh, yeah.
So good. Such a great movie. I'm upset I took so long to finally see it.
It is fantastic. Did you see The Wages of Fear, which it's like a loose remake of? Well, not even loose. It's pretty straight up remake of.
No, never seen Wages of Fear.
We covered it over on my other movie podcast, Awesome Movie Year, and after we covered it, I went and watched Sorcerer for the first time. This was last year, and they're like, honestly, I feel like they are two pieces of to talk about this podcast, pieces of a puzzle. You know, I think they both take the exact same idea of these guys having to transport this thing in this truck, you know, along treacherous, mm-hmm. you know, roads. Like, they just take it in two slightly different directions, but it's basically the same movie. And I think it's really worth watching both of them. You should check that out when you get a chance. But yeah, Sorcerer is amazing. So good.
Yeah. So glad I finally saw it.
Absolutely. Well, Evan, tell people where they can find you and your podcast and everything else you're up to.
Well, my show is Spoiler Piece Theater, and we're anywhere you can get podcasts, and also our website, spoilerpiece.com. And then you can find me on social media. My handle is Real Recon, and that's real as in film reel, and I'm on most of the stuff at this point. There's so many to even name, like Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Blue Sky, Threads, Instagram, Letterboxd.
I haven't done the Blue Sky yet. One of these days I'll force myself, but I really don't want to. But
yeah, I was really good in the beginning about posting a Blue Sky, and then I just totally fell off. But I haven't really been posting anything lately, so there isn't that.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right on, Evan. Thank you so much for joining me back on the show. Like I said, I don't know. People don't know what to make of this movie, so, you know, I was happy to get somebody on who was totally down to dive into this thing, and hopefully we'll get you back again sometime.
Yeah, I'd love to come back. Thanks for having me on again.
Have you ever been reading through a stack of comics and thought, maybe I should see what this Arkham Asylum game is all about? Or been playing Marvel vs. Capcom and felt like you were at a real disadvantage since you didn't know who half the characters were? Well, Play Comics is the show for you. I'm Chris, and each episode we take a look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stick to that source material. So whether you know the comics and want to know how all these games work, or you know the games and want to find out where all this craziness came from, go check out Play Comics at playcomics.com or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about Landscape with Invisible Hands. Thank you to Evan for joining me, and thank you to you for listening. If you're enjoying what we do here on Piecing It Together, make sure you are subscribed. And if you could drop us a 5-star rating or review, that would be appreciated. You could do that, of course, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Good Pods, or wherever there happens to be a 5-star button you could click on. I'd appreciate that. I told you at the top of the show about the Patreon, about the social medias at Piecing Pod, the Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces group. So let's just close this thing out with a piece of music like I always do to finish up these episodes. And of course, I got to play a weird one for this one. What am I going to play for a weird one? I'm thinking, well, I want to go with something from my most recent album, More Content. And I'm going to go with a track called Signals. Not exactly weird. It's more kind of just awesome, honestly. But it's a little strange, though. I've always felt this track has a bit of a Tangerine Dream feel to it. So hopefully you enjoy it. And we'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
West Production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.